In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Advent hope is the fruit of Christian experience. It's a strange sort of answer to the question of human suffering, death, and disappointment. How can God allow these things to happen? How can believing in God be compatible with so much human suffering, disappointment, and perhaps most poignantly, the wrenching agonies of bereavement? And where is God when even good people, people of faith, are swallowed up with all the rest, or have to wait interminably for their deliverance? The best Christian answer to this suffering is the practical witness of patience and solidarity on the part of loving clergy and lay people who witness to a different reality. This is the meaning of pastoral care. Now, no theoretical answer from a theologian is anything like satisfactory in the face of life's tragedies, traumas, and profound dislocations, except perhaps pointing to the fact of stubborn hope that never seems to desert God's people, which always seems able to renew itself. Now, this is the lesson of our Old Testament. Over many centuries of ups and downs, triumphs and failures, catastrophes and rebirths. Comfort, comfort my people, says Isaiah, and tell defeated Jerusalem, which has been eking out a much depleted existence with the bulk of its people in exile, tell depleted Jerusalem that the ups and downs of history, the mountains and valleys, will be made smooth, and that the twisted landscape of their hearts too will be refreshed by the revealing of God's glory. Here, the prophet uses topography to point to theology. Israel's faithful God is terraforming a new reality in human history. And in this blessing for humanity, we see God's glory being revealed. Israel's answer to suffering and disconnection is to keep rehearsing and developing this story of hope. And hence it's from the witnesses in Jerusalem, after all they've suffered, that a genuinely credible witness can come, a genuinely credible case for God in the face of suffering that has earned the right to be heard. So, lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Now, friends, this is faith's answer to the challenge of suffering and disappointment, a resilient community with the proven ability to keep hope alive. And this is the church's mission in a nutshell. So, Advent is good news for a world all too in need of it. Jesus and his great Advent forerunners, John the Baptist and later the Blessed Virgin Mary, herald the fulfilling of Old Testament hope, announcing that Jerusalem's travail is ended, that her burden of disappointment is being lifted, and that the bonds of sin that stifle human lives and communities are being undone. Mark's gospel reaches out to every prophet available, including today Malachi, who cries out, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." In Jesus, the coming one, announces John the Baptist, he and all the prophets will be surpassed. But don't just take my word for it, John the Baptist says. Prepare yourselves to meet the coming one, and you'll see. John calls for the baptism of repentance as a precursor for Jesus bringing new birth in the Holy Spirit. This is a promise of being caught up in God's own life, which offers its own verification in collective Christian experience. So here perhaps is our way into this Advent story. We who have been baptized and who share the hope of Jesus can now wait with expectation as his coming in the world and in our lives is confirmed over and over. Because this isn't just science fiction. This isn't just a made-up story like the beliefs of Scientology, which were cooked up by a science fiction writer and fabulist called L. Ron Hubbard. Au contraire. Our faith in Advent, Christmas, Easter, Pentecost has been worked out, tried, and proven in the crucible of Jesus' own life, death, and resurrection, and in the churches that were caught up in this new reality and that gave us our Gospels and the other New Testament books in witness to what had happened, to what was happening. These represent authoritative testimony worked out on the basis of actual Christian experience. Now, Jesus is the unstoppable reality at the heart of our movement. Consequently, in light of how eyes were opened and lives were changed, in light of how Rome's violent pagan empire began to unravel in response to Jesus' gospel of love, Christians gathered their reflections on Jesus' life, death, and resurrection in light of the Old Testament, and they produced the writings that became our New Testament. Hence, in light of the new world that Christians had already come to discover and to occupy, they crafted gospel readings like this morning's narrative from Mark of a prophetic forerunner and the great one whose coming he announced. Now, we believe this story because Jesus has already come and we have already seen his glory, and because we know in our collective experience that Christian hope is authentic and trustworthy despite everything. Now, many stories in our Gospels may seem fantastic, and many Christians go through a stage of being troubled by them, unable to reconcile them with modern ways of thinking. But the clue is to see these passages as testimony and as symbol, though they're grounded in actual experience. That way, as we today live our lives nourished by word and sacrament, with our imaginations enriched week by week in the Eucharist, we come to make this faith, hope, and love more securely our own over time and through the unfolding stages of our lives. Now, the other face of Advent, of course, is Jesus' second coming, which is the subject of our epistle today from 2 Peter. Now, all the apocalyptic themes from antiquity are on display, with the promise or the threat of our world swept away in a cataclysm of God's judgment. Now, my regular hearers will know that I counsel carefulness in reading such passages. Now, this isn't because the scientific mind can't account for them. These are mythical texts, after all. They're not literal predictions. Rather, I counsel carefulness as we hear them, because we have to find the truth of them in their symbolism, and especially in the way the New Testament tweaks and challenges the symbolism that it's inherited from the Old Testament and from elsewhere in the ancient world. This allows us to approach the seemingly bad news of apocalyptic literature with fresh eyes, with Easter eyes, as James Allison would put it, learning to read these passages against the grain as good news of forgiveness and hope. We see this tweaking at work in today's epistle from 2 Peter. It sets out the standard apocalyptic picture of a world destroyed, but it shifts the emphasis entirely onto the nature of the waiting. There's the real message. There's a delay in this catastrophic arriving, But we're told that this isn't to be thought of as slowness on God's part. No, it's intentional. It's to give us all time to be ready by seeking the fruits of repentance. So whatever final judgment might entail then, it doesn't have to be bad news for us. We don't have to run and hide from God's challenges as if they're too harsh or too hard for us. Instead, as 2 Peter tells us today, God is patient. And in that patience, in that constantly renewed invitation, we're given the time we need to claim and to own our salvation. Hence, the old language of apocalyptic, it's still there, it's still used, but it's demythologized and it's repurposed. Perhaps we best read this apocalyptic language today as a goad to take notice. It serves to show us how seriously God takes our salvation and liberation. And hence it encourages us to seize every opportunity to get back on board. So, friends, Advent is promising that Jesus will come into every situation to transform it, easing pain by hope and answering disappointment with reassurance. And this forward-looking hope is based on concrete Christian experience, past and present. The truest apocalypse is the one that Jesus unleashes at Easter. An apocalypse that destroys guilt, that lifts the burden of shame, that stares down the fear and power of death to capture our imaginations and deflect us from the joyful living of life, and that provides the only ultimately satisfying answer to human suffering. The Lord be with you.